¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, make sure you are following Familia FFP on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a subscribe. You know what? This is the money time. This is playoff time. That's why we brought in heavy hitter. Familia, you know what? I'm gonna dive right in. Mi amigo, Justin Henry's here. I mean, we met about a year ago through the cookout group. Hey, shout out Chris Allen. Yes, and you know what? It was great being a part of that, being a part of FSGA and being able to talk to so many people about kind of like our stories. And you know what, Justin, I mean, the great thing is everybody got a little spotlight on them. Justin, we got to really showcase Justin's great work. I mean, he's a superstar on TikTok. I mean, and you see him on the Justin Henry Show, just keeps growing and growing and growing. He gives so much great content in. I mean, I swear, I watched a 30-minute episode recently, and he just killed it. And it was just like answered everybody's questions. Like I don't know. I think it would have taken an hour and a half for most people. So, familia. Welcome in, mi amigo, Justin Henry, and sporting the purple and gold, mi amigo. Welcome.
You already know, Lakers in-season champions, mi amigo Jorge. Appreciate you, my man. You know, it is that time. It's time. Fantasy playoffs are here. We have, I know there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people to win their league. So this is crunch time, and this is, you know, you talked about Dale for what I do. This is a big time in fantasy football. So let's get these guys some wins.
Let's definitely get these folks some wins. So, you know, first off, I mean, you know, Lakers and 49ers, which is an interesting one. Quick thing. Do you on this season, have you had any like observations that's something that you want to explore for the off season?
As far as for the 49ers, just
49ers, any great lessons that you learned following the 49ers? Because they're so hard to kind of like decipher them on a week-to-week basis.
You know, I can't give out too many of the secrets, you know. But I think for this team, going into, like, especially the playoffs, you know, this is a hard team to figure out in real football because there's just so many weapons. And I think, you know, if other teams were looking right at the 49ers, it's about these playmakers. And it, you know, I think so much has been put on the quarterback position and the ability for a quarterback. I think the Niners are proving that if you can build a team that has a lot of stud potential offensively, a great defense, it's like you can kind of mitigate some risk that comes with the quarterback position. So I think the Niners, man, they're proving very, very quickly that this is going to be a hard team to beat.
Really hard team to beat. I remember talking to Cam Inman before the season, and he was predicting a Super Bowl at that time. And I was just like, I mean, for a beat writer to be doing that.
Yeah.
And it's coming through. I mean, it's we're going to talk about them in a second, but we'll get into that game a little bit more deeply. But you know, when you're right now, it's the nitty gritty. It's the start of the playoffs. We were talking about it before, you know, before the show. Are you, you know, how is your advice changing or when it comes to the playoff time?
So I think you got to get more strategic, right? When you do your draft, a lot of people put a lot of effort into nailing the draft because fantasy football is a long season. There's so many things that happen. And I think eliminating bias, eliminating kind of being objective with your analysis is the best way, right? We're not holding on to old takes. I think you're playing on a week-to-week basis right now. And a lot of people don't, they kind of stick to their old guns or maybe things that they want to happen. And it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's in your starting lineup. All your goal is to win these 3 weeks. So my advice really doesn't change because this is the narrative that I talk about all season long. There's really only 3 weeks that matter, and that's the fantasy playoffs. And because if you don't win your championship, there's disappointment, right? If you're not first, a lot of times it ends in disappointment, even if you're second or third. So I think for me, what I try to do is make sure that we're starting the best players possible. And it doesn't matter if you have a stud name that maybe has been a little bit unreliable or a player you don't trust, it's okay to go with your gut. And it's okay to play a player that may, you know, may just be a more of an upside play at this point. The focus is to get a win. And I think that should be the majority goal. It's not to not lose, right? You don't play to not lose. You play to win your week. And so I think that's a big component to winning in the fantasy playoffs.
And you know, one of the things that I also love to look at this time of year is to really not focus so much on what just happened and then to really just kind of like be able to project what's going to happen. And, right. And, you know, maybe somebody had a bad game last week, but hey, you know what? It was on the road. It was in weather. Maybe this week they're going to be looking good. One of the teams that we're going to talk about in a second is a possibility there. So I love that. And I love what you said, especially just treating it like, I mean, because really playoff time, it's do or die. So you got to win and get to the next week. Worry about next week when
yes. It comes. Yeah. So it's easy to plan ahead, though. And I think for teams, you do almost need to be a week ahead as well. But I would say like on how you manage your teams a little bit different, especially in the fantasy playoffs. Like one thing that a lot of people do is during, you know, their season, you want to have depth, right? You want to have extra receivers in case somebody goes down or extra running backs or extra quarterbacks. And it's like this is the time really to use your bench strategically. And a lot of people don't do that. Picking up an extra defense so that an opponent can't get a very plus matchup. Or maybe you're holding on to three receivers on your bench, but you're only starting three or four receivers depending on your league size. So the receiver position doesn't get hurt. Why do you need more than one extra receiver? You know, I think just using your bench a little bit more strategically is something that it's not really taught. And you kind of you've had to play for a while in order to understand how to use your bench as a defensive mechanism. A lot of people say you can't play defensive fantasy, but you can use your bench as a defensive mechanism in fantasy as well.
Oh yeah. Keep away, play keep away from your opponents. Yes. Yes. Especially if you know that, if you know something about your opponent, the favorite team, if you could grab somebody off of their favorite team, that's if you get told, it's like you're holding it right there. They got a Raider fan and then you just grabbed Zamir White off of them before on waivers. So that's, yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Well, one last one before we jump into the games. I want to take a moment. I mentioned the cookout group. I mean, it's just, I mean, we've been on so many of these Zoom calls. We were together in Vegas back in February, which honestly, doesn't it feel like yesterday and like more than 10 months ago all at once?
It does. It really does. Like, it feels like, you know, the coming together, the group actually getting together, having these calls in a time when, you know, we were all busy at last season. We're busy now, but still finding a way to connect and get together. So love what the cookouts put together as far as just creating opportunities and communication and just a network for individuals who are from a diverse background. So I love what we put together and I'm excited for what's to come with this group, because there's a lot of special talent in this group. And I don't think everybody's ready for what the potential of this group has. So shout out to Chris Allen, the cookout, leadership council, everybody involved with the cookout in general. I think there's a lot of special things coming.
Oh, it really is. It really is. We got some projects that we've been working on that we're going to unveil during the off season. So it's going to be good. And hopefully more involvement at FSGA next February and next summer. So great stuff. And I will tell you, I know you weren't able to be in Canton, but just to see everybody together when we were together, like a couple of mixers. And when we got together to take a photo, it felt so good. I felt like we were family, and it just everybody working together to rise up together. The whole, one of my good friends loves to use the term, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. And I really think so much of that is happening.
I can't wait till we get to a place to where the cookout isn't really necessary either. You know what I mean? Like I think that's the whole goal, right? Is that maybe it'll be a good thing to have, but a lot of the components of why it was built aren't necessary anymore. I think that will be the perfect space where we could still have the group and everything that comes along with it. But the reasons why we even had to put that group together, I can't wait until that day is eliminated. So it feels like things are progressing. Things are obviously always getting better. And I think our word is getting out there. And, you know, this is a space, man. It's a competitive space. So grateful for the opportunities that Cookouts provided, but then also excited for future endeavors as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully more collaboration, and not just with one another, but actually just, and we're seeing more collaboration with big content creators, bringing people on. And I just think it's fantastic. And I just love that we can just all reach out to one another and just be, advice, anything like that. Networking. God, it's just fantastic.
So it's been good. Like, there's honestly like a lot of just connections that I have in the group too, you know, and you'd be surprised at like the caliber of analysts, creators, just talent in general in that group. You'd be surprised who's in there. So it's been a great opportunity. And I encourage anybody that's watching that aspiring to be in the content creation or maybe just in the fantasy or betting space in general, hit up Jorge and La Familia and, you know, find a way to get involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get involved with week 15. Now, I picked out some games that I think have a lot of fantasy implications for them. You know, we talked about a little bit before, you know, offline. And so I think it's great. And so we're going to start with your 49ers. Okay. 49ers at Cardinals playing indoors, you know, down in Arizona. 49ers are 13.5 point favorites, 48 point over under. We don't have to worry about weather in this one. The 49ers are just rolling right now. And Deebo Samuel is just like a man possessed. I mean, it's one of those things that I always worry when the line gets really big for kind of like a backdoor cover for the home team. But I mean, right now the 49ers, you're starting everybody, right?
Got to start everybody. And I think this is the team, the Niners in general, it's like you kind of go with your guys. So if you have concerns ever on a week about Brandon Ayuk because of the matchup, or Deebo Samuel because he hasn't performed over the last couple of weeks, or George Kittle because he's been used sparingly and sometimes he's big plays, sometimes it's like you start these guys. Chris McCaffrey goes in your lineup. Brock Purdy at this point is a QB1, goes into your lineup. You trust the Niners system right now because things are rolling, and especially against this Cardinals team. It's a division game. It's on the road, but there's no chance against the Cardinals defense that struggled at times this year that you don't start any of these players. So I know George Kittle is often a question, you know, like, do you start him or do you start a Sam Laporta? Do you start a TJ? Like, no, I think George Kittle is one of those top five plays. So unless you have one of the TJ Hockenson's, or you have a Travis Kelce, or you have one of the elite tight ends in the game, you start George Kittle. You're not playing him over some of the fringe options just because of a matchup or because he's been inconsistent. So I think when it comes to this Niners team, expect a lot of offense. There's a reason why there's 48 points on the board and they're 14-point favorites in this game. But to me, you know, the Niners are – it's a lock. You play – you see the stuff back there. You play the best team. You know what I'm talking about, Jorge?
You play the best team. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I've got too many Niner fans down here who are going to be in my ear if they win. And so I'll be like, hey, you know what? It's all good. On the other side, I'm worried about James Conner against that run defense. But I'm kind of like in the passing game. I know the 49ers have given up some points on in the passing game, especially to wide receivers. How worried would you be if you were a James Conner owner this week?
I think when it comes to James Conner, like, you kind of know what he is at this point. He's an RB2 and he's touchdown dependent. The thing is, we've seen James Conner have decent games against the 49ers before. Obviously, this is a revamp unit, right? Like, add some additional pieces here on the Niners. They look amazing this year defensively, but I think if you have James Conner, you've treated him as an RB2 all season long and he's kind of been touchdown dependent. I think that's where his value lies. And coming off of the bye, I expect the Cardinals to probably get, you know, some other players, younger players in the mix. So he could be a liability, and I think he's more of a boom or bust running back too. But he's somebody I think you have to put in your lineup at least as a flex. If you have concerns or you have maybe a better option, then that's the time to pivot. But for right now, if you've relied on James Conner at most of the points of this year, outside of the times he was injured, then continue to rely on James Conner, I think, in the same type of fashion. So the Niner defense, when you talk about, you know, you talk about these options on the Cardinals in the receiving game, you mentioned that, you know, the Niners are a little susceptible in the secondary to getting beat. One player to watch out for, not this week, but just if you do have a bye or maybe you're looking, is how does this team get Michael Wilson involved? Big receiver, big body receiver for this team. And so I know everybody's on Hollywood Brown as like a boomer bust wide receiver three, but it looks like you and I both are kind of agreeing, like, Michael Wilson, if he gets some looks coming out of the bye, has a little bit of potential. I don't know about startability, but he has some potential if they're able to get him some additional looks.
Definitely. And plus Marquise Brown has been dealing with a little bit of a foot injury. So, they got to see what they have in this guy. And from the Senior Bowl, and he's had his flashes. So yeah. I love that call. Love that call.
Oh, and I can't go without talking about my guy, Trey McBride. If you're worried about this Niners matchup, listen, hey, I've been on Trey McBride. A lot of people have been on Trey McBride since last offseason. But even when Dalton Kincaid came up, I was like, you know what? The one I prefer is Trey McBride. So if you're worried at all about this Niners matchup, I don't think that's the case. The pass rush is there. And what's the quarterback's best friend in the pass rush? Short targets. So you're looking at Trey McBride. You're probably getting some check downs. So Trey McBride, I think he has a safe floor this week. Maybe not the upside that some of the other tight ends have, but safe floor this week against the Niners.
Yeah, and you were talking about the pass rush. Kyler's going to need those wheels. I mean, He's looked great coming out. He's going to need those wheels because he's going to get chased all. Nick Bosa, Chase Young. Oh, man, they're going to be all over him.
I hope so.
All right, so one of the games, or this week's game of the year, I guess. You know, every week it seems like there's a game of the year. But Cowboys at Bills. Both of them coming off of scintillating victories, really, really hard fought victories. I mean, the Cowboys beat up on the Eagles and the Bills outlasted the Chiefs in that one. Bills are home, Bills are home for this one. They're the desperate team right now. I'm kind of, there's a part of me that, the Cowboys are that home team, that dome team going into cold Buffalo. Could this be, and with the Bills being a little bit more of the desperate team needing to win, could this be a game where the Bills could just, with a lot of fantasy goodness, but the Bills kind of pop in this one?
I agree with you there, man. The Bills, this is a must win game for the Bills, with especially how competitive the AFC is right now. And the Cowboys coming off of a big win, sometimes off emotional wins, teams, this is just one of those spots where I guess the Bills came off an emotional win too with their win last week. But when you talk about the Cowboys, it's like this team has been hot. Dak, CD, but they're walking against a desperate Bills team. And I look at Josh Allen, I look at a get right game for Diggs, even against a very tough Cowboys team. I'm not expecting a huge ceiling game from Stephon Diggs. But in order for this Bills team to really push and drive to make the playoffs and not be one of the bottom seeds or even out of the playoffs, they're going to need to get Stephon Diggs involved. So I know last week Dawson Knox came back, probably threw another wrench into all the available options for the Bills. But in a high projected total here with 50.5 points, I'd expect to see a little bit more fireworks from this Bills team, and especially out of Stephon Diggs, even though the matchup screams that it's tough. This is a player I think is going to get more involved. And shout out to James Cook for getting more involved in the passing game. They're going to need him as well with that Cowboys pass rush.
Absolutely. I think him and Kincaid are going to definitely get some work. Yeah. I love James Cook in that, between the 20s, it's fantastic. And, one of the things that I was just thinking as you were talking about Stephon Diggs, because I mean, I know fantasy managers really need him to step up. I wonder if with him watching the Cowboys secondary, because his brother is on the second, obviously he's sitting out right now.
Right.
I wonder if, just that extra study, because he's not just a talented player, but he's also a technician who really studies the game. Could maybe that lead to a little bit of advantage to get him loose in once?
Maybe he might be able to find, exploit something that he's seen. But at the end of the day, it's mano a mano. You got to go against the other person. So Gilmore, you got Deron Bland out there. These guys are going to be ready for Stephon Diggs. And I'm sure Trayvon is giving them a little bit of insight too on Diggs, even though he's hurt. So, that's his brother. At the end of the day, he knows him in and out as well. So I think when it comes down to it, this is a game where the Bills have to get this offense. They have to continue to keep this thing rolling so that they get into the playoffs. And Diggs is really, for the fact that he hasn't been very valuable fantasy-wise over the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are probably questioning if they should start him or not. Unfortunately, it's to that point now. And this is a player that if you have him, you have to start him. No matter what, do not take – this isn't the kind of player you leave on your bench in hopes that you find, even over a guy like Rashee Rice, who has played well over the last couple of weeks, you're still going with your Stephon Diggs, even in this tough matchup.
Yeah, he you know what? It's high-volume passing game, and he's the number one target. Gabe Davis question. He had the big donut last week. Could you trust him in a flex position this week?
Hell no. There's no way. I'm not trusting Gabe Davis in any. Think about this, right? And you're playing in the fantasy playoffs and you play him as your flex, your wide receiver three, wherever you're feeling froggy when it comes to Gabe Davis. Maybe you get a 20 out of him, but can you deal with another zero? That's the issue with Gabe Davis. And, you know, I term these guys fringe guys. And I say, if I debate starting them, is that really a smart start? You know what I mean? And so if I have too many of those options on my bench, we talked about that earlier. Those are the kind of players I would drop Gabe Davis. Let somebody else decide if that's going to be the player that takes them on in the fantasy playoffs, because you know what? There's no way I'm starting 3 weeks in a row. That's not a player that I trust. So I think unless I comfortably would start that player in my lineup and know that, you know, at least they're going to help my lineup. Like, Gabe Davis has potential to like eliminate teams by himself. So I stay far away from Gabe Davis.
Tony Pollard been good. Any worry about Rico Dowdle kind of like, you know, kind of snaking some touches from him?
I think we kind of know what Tony Pollard is at this point, and a lot of people wanted to put him in the RB1 range, a little, you know, preemptive. And I think we've figured out what Tony Pollard is. He's a RB2, and he has the flash and the upside that we want, but most of his performances indicate that he's a RB2. So when it comes to Tony Pollard, I think we can expect still some volume in the passing game, potential opportunities in the red zone for a score. I'm not overly concerned about Rico Dowdle, even in this matchup where the Cowboys might want to use multiple backs to slow this Buffalo offense down a little bit. So I'm not really worried about Tony Pollard. I think I've already come to grips. I came to grips with this a lot earlier, but I think I've came to grips with this that Tony Pollard is just a running back too. So the sooner you can just adjust your rankings and adjust your own mental and expectations, I think it's easier to throw him out there, even in a, you know, somewhat tougher matchup.
And we talked a little bit about weather before the game. It's rain is on there, but we've already seen the Bills blow up in the rain against Philly earlier. That for my money was one of the best games of the year. Wind is not expected to be an issue. You looking at this game going over the 50.5?
Yeah. So I look at this, you know, and I think we're going to see rain. A lot of people are probably going to go under because they'll see weather. But the main thing to be concerned about is wind. And when you don't see huge wind gusts, you don't see a lot of high sustained winds throughout a game. That's why you get this 50.5 point total. So even in rain, you might see a couple drop passes. You might see a little bit of a sloppy play, maybe a fumble on a sack or something. But for the most part, these two teams know how to execute plays and move the football downfield, whether it's through the run game. We got two quarterbacks that can, you know, that can move the ball with their legs if needed. We got tight ends in this game. We have plenty of offensive weapons, so I'm not overly concerned about the total. If I was looking at, you know, you're expecting a shootout, but both of these defenses are also respectable. So to be honest, this number seems pretty tight. If I was going to lean one way, I probably would lean slight over in this game.
Yeah, barely. I think this could be kind of like, yeah, I mean, barely.
It's got 28-24 written all over it.
Yeah. Totally. 28-24, 27-24, field goal at the end, something like that. So, oh man. So I want to get we talked a little bit about teams that maybe let down recently and kind of looking ahead. I think the Lions are kind of like the poster child for that. Really let down last week in Chicago, but now they're in Detroit. Ford Field, no problem with the elements. I think this game's gonna be fun. How do you see the Lions kind of attacking this?
This is a home game for the Lions, and this is kind of a must win for them, like to stay in contention for like potential. I know the bye is kind of starting to slip away from them, but to at least stay in contention for it and stay atop one of those, you know, top seeds in the NFC. When I see this team, though, I see a hungry Broncos team, a team that's been playing well, especially defensively. And for the Lions, you know, they've gotten back a lot of the weapons, a lot of the, hey, you know, once David Montgomery comes back or once Jahmyr Gibbs gets up to speed or, you know, hey, once Jameson Williams comes back, like there's been a lot of things will get better and the Lions are playing so well. We're seeing this cast back and now it's like, hey, this offense doesn't even look as explosive. So I think, you know, a get right game at home, but this Broncos defense, it has been playing for everything they were against Miami, right? When they gave up 70 points, they are much improved, Jorge. And so, especially over the last couple of weeks, Sean Payton's gotten this thing right. They're moving the ball effectively. I think this is going to be a more competitive game than even the 4 points indicate. So I think the Broncos will hang tough. But I'm not overly concerned about like the main options on this team. St. Brown, you have to play him, obviously. Yeah. Goff is kind of more of a QB2 for me. But I think the one play for sure that I like this week on the Lions side is Sam Laporta. And the running backs too. Like, you got to go. The running backs of Sam Laporta in this game, I feel like, are going to be used heavily. So Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, even touchdown dependent play, but even the running backs, especially against this Denver team, which has given up a lot of yardage to running backs. You're playing your running backs. You're playing Sam Laporta. You're playing the usual suspects. Jared Goff is I don't know that I want to call him like that upper echelon QB2. I think there's a little bit more question marks with him though.
Absolutely. One player I'm worried about on the Denver side is Javonte Williams. Because of the fact that the Detroit Lions are one of the better run defenses in the NFL, they've been really tough on running backs. If someone came to you with Javonte Williams or James Cook, for their second running back, which way are you leaning?
That's a tough one because Dallas is also a very good team against running backs as well. So you're looking at two of the top, both of these teams are top five against running backs. And, with Javonte Williams, I think the team needs him a little bit more than James Cook is needed, so to speak, for the Bills. Right. I think we can get a better floor with James Cook because we know he's probably, at least since, his offense has changed directions recently, especially since the coordinator change, he's become more involved in the passing game. So I think we don't get the rushing touchdown upside with James Cook that we do with the Javonte Williams, who is used heavily in the red zone when the team needs to. So you're missing out a little bit on ceiling, but I think you get a better floor with James Cook. It depends on your team's need. If you're down and you feel like maybe you have an inferior team to your opponent, now I'm considering Javonte Williams and the fact that he might get two touchdowns against his team. He might get involved in the passing game, even though it's a tougher matchup, but the team uses him in the red zone. Whereas if you just need a solid like 10 to 14 points and that's really what you need, I think James Cook is the better start in that instance. So kind of depends on your matchup, who you're playing up against. Both of those guys are a very similar tier to me this week.
Absolutely. Feeling really good about playing Russ this week, right? Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Russ is good. And Cortland Sutton, who's been a dog over the recent stretch, man. Cortland Sutton is definitely a play this week. So everything, me personally, I expected Jerry Jeudy to be the one this year. Cortland Sutton is a high-end wide receiver, too, the rest of the way. And Russ is looking his way. So both Russ and Cortland Sutton, good to go this week against the Lions.
Oh, absolutely. Love this one. Okay, we're going to pick one more game. We're going to take about 3 minutes on it. Ravens at Jaguars, which I think is going to be a fun game. Low total. There's potential for some wind in this one, 15 to 20 mile an hour wind. So that's, again, something that we've talked about. I think we saw something last week with the Ravens. This was the first time they got into a bare knuckle brawl. It's the classic line from Mike Tyson, every guy's got a plan until he gets punched in the mouth.
Yep.
They got punched in the mouth, and we got a ceiling game from, we got an QB1 game from Lamar Jackson. Could they get punched? I honestly think they could get punched in the mouth every week during the fantasy playoffs, and Lamar is going to respond. What are you thinking on this game?
I think the good thing about this Baltimore team, if you have Lamar Jackson, is that even if they don't get punched in the mouth, Lamar Jackson can put up points in the ground game. And it's exciting to see him use his legs and do whatever he can to get this team the number one seed in this AFC. So I think they have that on their side. There's been a lot of talk about Lamar not being available in the second half of the year, and he seems like a competitor. So whether they get into shootouts or not, I think this Ravens team will continue to put up points, and Lamar is going to be a safe play. And you can talk about defense. You can talk about low score. Whoever they're up against, like they have the 49ers on Christmas in week 16, Lamar's still going to be a top three play for me, even against that Niners defense. So I'm comfortable starting Lamar. I think he's matchup proof. He's proven that Konami coded, obviously. But Lamar Jackson is a play. Like, I'm excited about this offense, even without Mark Andrews. To me, it feels like everybody's getting right. Like, you're getting Rashad Bateman in there involved. You're getting Odell more involved. Zay Flowers has looked better. Isaiah Likely has came in there. Keaton Mitchell has opened things up offensively as well. So I think things are clicking for this Ravens team, and I have no qualms about starting Lamar, Odell, Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely. None at all.
I love that Odell's found the fountain of youth. I mean, as a Ram fan, I loved watching him help them win the Super Bowl. Keaton Mitchell, Gus Edwards have a very tough matchup. The Jaguars are one of the better rush defenses. Could you see yourself getting a start sit question that where you maybe say, I mean, as tough as it is to say, maybe the matchup doesn't work this week?
I'm to be honest, I would fade Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell. You know, Keaton Mitchell, he's the sexy pick, right? Like, he's the one that everybody saw, undrafted, has the speed. And we know he's a part of this. But the thing is, this team doesn't need to use him in the red zone. Unless he's popping off a 30 or 40-yard touchdown run, he's probably going to be kind of Jaylen Warren-esque, where he's in that 7 to 10-point range, you know, and it kind of just varies between there. So Keaton Mitchell, he has upside, but I think that we're going to see less upside weeks than we will the floor weeks from Keaton Mitchell, unfortunately. So especially when you know that the passing game, Lamar, we talked about Lamar and his legs, they're getting clicking. I just don't see a world where he could pop off one of these weeks during the fantasy playoffs. It wouldn't surprise me to see Keaton Mitchell go for a 15 to 20-point day at least once during the fantasy playoffs. Are you going to start him, though? That's the question, is are you going to start him or is he going to cost you one of those weeks? So I think there's some variability when it comes to Keaton Mitchell, unfortunately.
I've got a couple of teams where I'm going to, thankfully, where I don't have to start him. I've got a bye. So, but the question will be coming against the 49ers. But on the, any concerns for Travis Etienne on the other side against the really good Ravens defense?
I think at this point, you got to play Travis Etienne. You know what he is. He's been a leader for your team the entire time. I think the questions really come with these receiving corps, Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley, especially with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he had 50 attempts last week, but it didn't lead to like these outstanding days for all these players. So Calvin Ridley's been a tough player to trust over the season. He's going to be tough to trust during the fantasy playoffs, kind of Gabe Davis-esque. We're talking about just you don't know what to expect output-wise. So I think Evan Engram is obviously going up against a tough matchup against the Ravens. Doesn't matter. They played well against Cleveland last week. You're still starting Evan Engram. I would be slightly concerned about Etienne, but I don't think you have an option other than to play him.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this game, I think this line, at first I thought the line was 42.5 over under was a little low. I'm starting to wonder if, you know, maybe the defense has just given up to slow this down and kind of keep it right around that number. Oh man, Namilo, I'm gonna close up shop. I want you to pump anything you want, but also I want you to throw out there your favorite Mexican food for Familia FFB.
Oh, you know, I got my show, Justin Henry Show. You can find it, Justin Henry with the 3 instead of an E. You can find me on TikTok. So I don't want to plug a whole lot, but I do want to talk about my favorite Mexican food. It's tamales. I love tamales, bro. Tamales and enchiladas, bro. Chimichanga. I'm not gonna lie, like I love Mexican food. That's my favorite. So, you know, tamales though. If you can make a bomb tamale, you got the key to my heart.
It's Christmas time. I wish I, you know what? You want to come down to Familia Christmas? We get like 6 or 8 tubs of different tamales.
And then
one of my, you know, several of my tias will give you, give you like takeout, just to take home. But
I need it.
mi amigo. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Otra vez, everybody, Familia, make sure you're following us on YouTube. And, you know, follow my content at Yahoo. Hey, you know what? Keep pumping. Buena suerte in the playoffs. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.